Hello, ladies. Welcome to Women Words Wisdom, which is a podcast for women over 50 who want to challenge cultural narratives surrounding aging. Let's recognize and celebrate the raw truth behind what we wise women are learning and experiencing. My name is Robin Enright Salcedo, and I'm your host for the podcast. I believe we have a choice in how we face our aging. We can look at it with dread, or we can look at it with curiosity. If you believe that 60 is the new 40, this isn't the right podcast for you. Let's face this head on, and let's talk about the real issues. Let's find a way through it together. In 2010, I began what I thought at the time was my greatest life adventure, a move from Massachusetts to Boulder, Colorado at the age of 51. I loaded up my Subaru, bought my cockapoo, Tigger, a booster seat so he could see out the window, and I pointed my car west to begin my new life. While this was indeed a great life adventure, I've realized that the greatest adventure of my life was something I missed beginning altogether. My journey into older age and the many new doors that opened and new chapters that began. And while my drive to Colorado was meticulously mapped out, this adventure has not been. I'm a storyteller who uses the written word and photography to provide a glimpse of my subjects, so why not create a project that focuses on all the ways we end and begin again during this life phase? So I'm curious, who are you? What are you working on? Who and what inspires you? What royally pisses you off? What new chapters have you begun? I promise to be real with you. No bullshit. It's kind of scary, to be honest, but since I've always made sense of the universe through writing and allowing myself to be vulnerable, I guess I'm willing to risk it. Good morning, friends. It's been a while since I've reached out to you and shared a conversation with a fascinating woman or something I may have written. Boy, 2020 has been one hell of a year, hasn't it? And I've had my moments, like I suspect many of you have, where we just getting through the day is about the best that we can do. And I actually feel that I'm very, very fortunate. I'm just going to riff on this subject for a little while of how we can best take care of ourselves and what are some of the things that have been going on. I had a conversation with someone last night that is very, very dear to me and much older, and we were talking about his feelings of depression, not wanting to get out of bed, just kind of feeling like, is this all there is? When will this end? General depression. And I could see him light up a little bit when I started to remind him that he's not alone. He's, obviously experiencing his own emotions and his own views and his own actions. But I can't imagine, I don't know anybody who isn't affected by what is happening in our universe today. And God bless him for being able to come straight and just be able to say, I'm not doing well right now. What a gift he gave himself, because he made a connection. He opened the door for myself and my husband to just offer what we knew. And some things will stick, some things won't stick. And isn't that what it's all about right now? When we sit back and we say to ourselves that we, since March, have been in the midst of a pandemic, we are a country that is torn apart. Many, many of us have experienced relationships that have actually either been severed or have suffered a lot of damage. And we have had protests, we have had economic uncertainty, and let's not forget that, because I don't think that is something we will recover from very, very quickly. There has just been so much uncertainty, and the truth of the matter is, intellectually, we all know that this uncertainty is with us every single day. But in 2020, it has been in our faces the entire year. And we are not, many of us are not really very well equipped, I think, to slow down and take a look at this and really explore where we are and how we want to react to where we are. You know, there are some things we can control and there are many others that we cannot. So what do you do? So this conversation that I had last night made me think quite a bit. I personally have had relationships that have ended and some relationships that I'm not sure they will recover, but I wouldn't say they've ended yet. We've all seen something different in each other. I have definitely had my moments of sadness and fear and depression. But here's the thing. For me, aside from those first few weeks in March, when I was worried about contracting this illness, very worried, I was pretty sure, like I think most of us were, that if I did get sick, I would die. There would be no hope. And in fact, that was the truth for quite a long time. We just didn't know anything about this illness and our poor medical healthcare heroes have just, I don't know how they do it. I really don't. And perhaps they don't either. But then over time, what I realized is I was dealing with that fear the best I could, that I was trying to believe that COVID could not, would not be what took me out. And maybe these are the things we tell ourselves without any information, right? I mean, we all have stories we tell ourselves that do actually get us through each day, things we believe and want to have faith in and choose to have faith in. But what started to really get me down is seeing, you know, encountering people who immediately close up. You know, you approach them on a trail and the look on their face is full of suspicion and fear. And if I'm not wearing a mask, even though I'm hiking in the mountains, I get a very often, I should say, unkind request. Someone assumes they know something about me, which of course they don't. I do believe in wearing masks, by the way. That's not what this is about. But then I also started to realize that even though I'm an introvert, even though I very much enjoy my time alone, and, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, staying in quarantine is not particularly challenging for me. I don't want to be seen as, you know, that I am experiencing this the way someone who does have, you know, really struggle with staying alone. We experience this differently, and that's natural, and that's okay. But what I do really miss, which surprised the living hell out of me, was the faces of the random people I would encounter in my day. You know, the barista. You can't understand each other half the time. We're talking through a mask, and there are so many often hilarious miscommunications, but they make me sad, and I've never been one who enjoyed talking to my barista. I just want to get my coffee. But I think what I learned was that, well, that's not really true. For me, some of these connections with people who are checking me out at the local drugstore or my supermarket or the post office people that I deal with when I have to mail something, or even sometimes seeing a stranger on the trail and it's a gorgeous day and you're just happy to be alive. You don't know, or you can't always tell if you are looking into a face that is welcoming interaction or not. And that hit me pretty hard. It felt better once I understood what it was, but it hit me pretty dang hard and dropped me a couple of floors pretty quickly, like falling down in an elevator shaft. And then I started to realize there's not a lot I can do about that, right? I mean, we all have to behave in the way that we're going to behave. I just knew that for me, I can't live that way. I can't live assuming the worst about everyone I encounter. I can certainly have my, you know, be on guard, but I can't live that way. And so I did start, you know, when I would run into people, I would often say good morning. And unfortunately, not everybody did respond, but, you know, it is what it is, right? It had to do a little bit less with me expecting something in return and more with me practicing going about this crazy life we find ourselves in this year in a way that was good self-care. I have experienced the other thing many of us women have experienced, which is the gaining of weight, the rapid gaining of weight. And I'm missing my younger body that when I was anxiety prone, I couldn't eat. But this is not my experience right now. So that too was making me unhappy. And on top of it all, I suffer from anxiety, which has been a lot better as I've gotten older, mainly because I talk about it. I tell people, and I'm less concerned with someone judging me and more curious about, will this be someone I connect with when I share with them that even though this doesn't seem to be a big deal, I am very anxious, whatever this something might be. And I will tell you that becoming, you know, being clean, being authentic, and letting myself be vulnerable, as hard as it is the most rewarding thing I've ever done, because 9 times out of 10, I do get the feedback that I need to calm me down. My husband's a fantastic recipient of this, but I have a few wonderful, beautiful, beautiful friends, as well as my gorgeous daughters who I don't know how I managed to raise them to become such beautiful women, given my many years of being in an unhappy marriage. But they astound me. They truly do. And I can be very honest with them. So a couple of things that I've done, and I'm just going to share it with you like I was with my friend last night, because maybe something will stick with you. And, you know, maybe it won't. But I want you to, first of all, I want you to take a deep breath and know that I am with you. So let's do it together. Breathe in through your nose. And slowly out through your mouth. And drink in the fact that I really am in here with you. I'm not feeling the same feels you may have. But geez, we're all trying to figure this out and manage this incredibly historic time that will strengthen us. It will, if we let it. So I am with you, and I want to tell you some of the things I've done and see what sits with you. I try to practice meditation every day. For those of you who say, oh, I can't possibly do that, I can't sit still and make my head clear, it is not about that. It really, if you look at meditation as kind of touching base with yourself in the morning for 5 minutes, that's kind of, I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, I spent years resisting and years thinking I couldn't do it. I mean, my God, if we can't sit still for 5 minutes and just breathe, then we really have a big problem. So, you know, for me, I just sit still for 5 minutes. Sometimes my eyes are open. Sometimes my eyes are closed. I set a timer that has beautiful yoga chimes when it's over. And all I do is I try to listen to my body. I check in with my belly, which is where I tend to get a lot of anxiety. I check in with my throat, which is another place where I can sometimes feel like I just can't swallow because I'm anxious. And I just, every time thoughts start to come in, and sometimes for me, it's like 20 things at once. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to buy for dinner that night, for God's sake. And then I gently try to come back to just breathing. And it doesn't always work. But there's no such thing as an empty mind. We're human beings. We're always thinking. If that doesn't work for you and you want some guidance, I do have an app on my phone that I highly recommend, and I love it. It's called Relax Melodies. My daughter actually turned me on to it when I was traveling because I need a little bit of sound when I'm sleeping. So it has some beautiful sounds there, but it also has some guided meditation. It has story time. And when I'm really, spinning is what I call it, my anxiety, I listen to one of those. You do not need to get the paid version, and it will try to convince you you need it. You don't. I mean, if it works, if you love it and you want additional tunes and additional stories, go for it, but you don't need it. Just do one or two of their meditations. They're longer than 5 minutes, but try it for 3 weeks. Just try it and see if you notice anything when you end up in a tough situation. It does take time, but you know, we should give ourselves time, right? The other thing, that I've done that is very important is I had my physical about 5 weeks ago. And when I realized I had gained 5 or 6 pounds in a very short amount of time, I'm not overweight, that's not the right direction, right? I don't want to be overweight. And I was feeling icky about myself. I mean, and that ickiness comes out in so many different ways. I don't want my husband to see me naked. I don't like the way I look in my clothing. I feel... I don't walk with my shoulders and my head held high. And this is not, I want you to hear this clearly, it's not because I had a few extra pounds. It's about how I felt about those few extra pounds. Anyhow, I also know that, the addition of too much weight for women leads to heart disease. And of course, there's the issue of diabetes. So I wanted to just kind of nip it in the bud. And my doctor is wonderful. And her suggestion was, hey, one thing I have seen people really do well with is Weight Watchers. I never thought of it before. She was a big proponent for it, and I tried it, and turns out it's the best thing for me. I've already lost about 5 pounds, maybe a little bit more. All it is trying to teach you to eat healthy. It is not a system that tells you don't eat carbs, don't eat this, don't eat that. You can actually eat whatever you want. You're just making choices. And for me, I'm a big vegetable eater, and it's on a point system. So you say you eat a cucumber, well, that's 0 points. A banana, that's 0 points. If you want fish, most fish is 0 points. So you try to stay within a point system. And I happen to, turns out, really enjoy logging in what I'm eating. I had thought I was eating healthy. I had thought that I was doing a really good job. I wasn't. My portions were a little bit oversized. I was eating the wrong foods. I would often not eat until I was starving. And of course, you know what happens when you do that. I'm not hungry when I first wake up. So sometimes I would get busy and do some other things, and it would be 1 o'clock. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm starving. So what do I reach for? The chips and the salsa. I make myself a sandwich, and it's usually a big sandwich. I have some cookies. I mean, you know, doing that on a every other day basis is not going to help you lose weight. So I did the Weight Watchers thing, but I also, because I've had some stomach issues, experimented with cutting gluten out. I did get tested for celiac. I do not have that, but my body just doesn't like gluten. So big deal. I'm not going to eat it unless I have to. That has changed so much in my outlook, because I feel like I have some control, and I'm not going to just be this, runaway train and unhealthy woman. And it's also had the weird side effect of making me want to work out more, which is really interesting. But I don't feel this need for intensity. I mean, if I just want to walk and it's a long, slow cruise of a walk for 4 or 5 miles, that's what I'm going to do. I do lift weights. I do do some aerobic activities. But I'm trying to do what I love and just trying to be consistent. So that's something that has worked for me. I don't know what will work for you, but if you're curious, check out the Weight Watchers thing. And then, you know, I finally realized after a relationship with a family member, I think has probably been severed. And yes, it was about politics, more because this individual believes conspiracy theories. And I couldn't let my, what's the word I'm thinking of? I mean, I was amazed. I just couldn't believe that someone I knew believed some of these things. So the more I asked questions, the more this person got annoyed and eventually told me I didn't know what I was talking about. And then it just kind of, it was no bueno. So the point is, I realized I was pretty angry about that. And I reached out to my therapist who I, you know, used to see pretty regularly. And I'm very fortunate that I can just reach out to her here and there. And we did a virtual meeting and oh my goodness, it helped so much. But I want to pass on one thing she said to me, because who knows, this may stick with you. Like I said, this whole episode is about what sticks with you, what doesn't stick with you. And what she said to me when I was, you know, talking about the uncertainty and how it was disturbing to me and feeling, you know, that I didn't even want to have hope anymore. She said, well, let's look at this a little differently. How about you look at it as having faith? And then I said, well, that sounds pretty religious. And I don't know, there's something that feels off for me there. And she said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of faith. I'm talking about the faith that perhaps everything is happening right now the way it has to happen right now. Perhaps everything, having the faith that everything will be as it should be. Now listen to those words, as it should be, not as I want it to be. And you know, every time I end up in a situation where I'm nervous about the uncertainty and the state of our country, I do inhale, and that's kind of a mantra for me, is perhaps everything right now is as it should be. So 2 points there. It's what she said. But if you're lucky enough to have a therapist on your speed dial, don't be afraid to reach out and say, hey, I need some help. Because trust me, they are hearing a lot of it. And you will realize you're not alone. Which brings me back to the other thing. Sometimes, and I don't know how many of you in the audience have had depression, but I have definitely suffered from depression, episodes of depression, usually revolving around an incident. It's not what some people would call chemical. When you're depressed, some of the things that are most apt to make you feel better are the things you most don't want to do, right? You don't want to have a connection. I mean, you might crave that connection, but it seems too insurmountable. You might know, like for me, it's writing, and I might just feel like, oh, I have nothing to say. Or going for a walk, and you might just feel like, oh, I have no energy. I don't want to get out of bed. I can't. Everybody's different, and I really want to be heard as I'm not telling you what the right thing is, because I can only tell you what is right for me. But again, in the hope that perhaps something in this hopefully somewhat uplifting episode will stick with you, I want to encourage you, if you're feeling really down, to think of, you know, baby steps. If you're having a hard time getting off the couch, maybe you just get up and go for a walk around the block the first time. Maybe you reach out for your therapist if you can't find someone else that you're very connected with that can hear you and not feel like they need to tell you what to do. Reach out to a friend. Take that risk and say, I'm feeling really worried and scared. And obviously choose wisely in who you decide to confide in. The last thing any of us need when we're in that state is for someone to say, oh, for goodness sake, or, you know, poo-poo our emotions. Talk to someone that you know will hear you and will help you figure it out for yourself. Some of the other things that have helped me, and again, just going to share it with you, are taking a bath. I get in the tub sometimes in the middle of the day. If it's a bad day and my anxiety is high, I get in the tub and I just sit in that nice warm water. Sometimes I listen to relaxing music. Sometimes I read a book. It just depends. There is something about the warmth of water that definitely soothes me. I also find my way into nature. Wherever, for me, it's very important that it's not a crowded place. It's got to be where I see hardly anybody. I don't want to be around people. I just need nature. I need to see the trees and, you know, the ground and feel, just hear my feet hitting the ground. Maybe do some huffing and puffing up in the mountains. I also really come out of my shell with art. And as I've gotten older and older, I do the adult equivalent of coloring by painting because I'm not a very good painter. And honestly, maybe I could be, but I don't, it's not my thing. I do it because it's interesting. Who knows what will happen? And every now and then I make something and I think, oh my goodness, I made that. But it's soothing. It's very soothing to me, as is my camera. Shooting is the most important way for me to lose myself. And if I don't have a portrait session, I will do my best to get out, either create a still life, get out and go for a walk, something, find something that is fascinating to me that I want to photograph. And last but not least, I try to change things up. We all get in ruts. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like this is Groundhog Day over and over again. I wake up, I get up, I have my coffee, I look at the news, I brush my teeth. You know, it's the same thing every single day because we're not, you know, getting up and we don't seem to have as much freedom. We just don't right now, right? This is going to end. But right now we're in the midst of something where we don't have a lot of freedom to move. So change it up in whatever way you can. Maybe you don't have to sleep in. I mean, I love getting up at 5 or 5:30. Some people will hear this and say, oh my God, I'll never do that. I love when the world is quiet and I'm awake. I just like solitude. Maybe you take a bath in the middle of the day. Maybe you eat your dinner at 3:30 in the afternoon and go for an evening walk. Maybe you, instead of feeling disconnected and waiting for someone to reach out to you, you reach out to somebody. You set up a Zoom call or a FaceTime call. And, you know, the other thing that is giving me great joy right now is holiday season. It almost feels like the most wonderful holiday season, even though I'm not going to see my family. And I think it's because I am very, very, very aware of what is important. And I'm staying aware of that. And I am making things for my family. I have been very busy making gifts. That gives me incredible joy. These are things that work for me, and they may not work for you, right? Don't hear, but if you hear something, you're like, hey, maybe I'll give that a whirl. Maybe I'll reach out to my best friend today and see if she wants to have a cup of coffee over the phone or if she wants to do a Zoom happy hour. Maybe I'll write a letter. Maybe I'll research my family history. Maybe I'll just go for a walk, light a candle. Maybe I do need to cry for a little while and then stand up and start all over again. Be kind to you. And the whole purpose of this episode, like I said, is I really want to get the message out there that you are not alone. You are not alone, even if you are quarantining alone and feeling disconnected. The way you're feeling is shared by, I would assume, the majority of this population of the world. And sometimes that can be very comforting to know that. So really drink that in and take a deep breath. And remember, I'm with you. I am with you. I'm feeling all the feels. And finally, if trying some of these things just really falls on deaf ears, and that is so fine, that is so fine, think about reaching out to someone who can help. Can't make it go away. This is where we are. But what you can do is think about how you want to approach it. Do you want to end what we hope is only going to be a year of this quarantine, COVID, anxiety, feeling like the past year was just a dark cloud, which in many ways it is? Or do you want to exit this feeling ready to embrace whatever the new something is? It's up to you. We can't change where we are, but we definitely can change how we respond to it. Hey, I'm wishing you the most beautiful Thanksgiving, hearts full of gratitude. I hope that you are all surrounded by people who love you and that you don't feel alone. And I hope that you will reach out. If something here resonated with you, by all means, you can find my email contact information on the website of Our Stories Today or in the show notes. I'd love to hear how you're doing. Be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself. Nurture yourself. Take the time you need. And just know you're not alone. Sending you all much love and gratitude for listening. Talk soon.